Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Go ahead and take your seat. I want to tell you a little story about Deborah and I. You know, we're blessed people. Truly, I mean, if there's anything I can say as I stand before you is that we're what the Bible describes as living monuments, if you will, to the goodness of God. Where life is blessed, I don't know in what area it's not blessed. Mama still loves me and I still love her. In fact, Grandpa loves Grandma. And I think she's the most beautiful woman I have ever seen in my life. In my 40s, we've been married for over 40 years. And I have to tell you something, there's still a spark. There used to be a flame, but there's just a spark there. There's still that spark, and that's just because of age that there's a spark and not a flame. But we want you to know that we're in love today probably more than we've ever been. Don't do that, because I want to make a point. My point is that every one of our children are serving God, most of which are preachers. And I think I told you last time I was with you last week, we ordained our first, we have 12 grandchildren, another one coming. But we ordained our first grandchild. We were there at the ordination at another church, laid hands on our first grandchild who's preaching the gospel, probably even tonight as we speak. And every one of our children are serving God, loving God, of course, just in battles in their young lives, being all that God called them. Because you don't get to be a Christian just because, you know, you're married and you live in our family or anything such as that. You don't get to be a minister by because you're part of the family. You determine what God says. You go after what God says. I want God. God's going to do something. And then God puts you in the place that he needs to be. And you need to be somebody. And so do I that follow God. About 40 some odd years ago when Deborah and I were first married, it always rings inside of me that something that took place that changed our lives and changed Deborah's and my destiny. It was the very essence of what caused all the blessings today. I thought I'd share that with you. It's called a little word called walk. We decided to walk after God. We decided to walk after God in every area of our life. We made a commitment. When we got married, our vows were from Scripture. We made a commitment. On our honeymoon, we went to what is called a faith convention. On our honeymoon, everybody else thought we were nuts. Why don't you go to Hawaii? Why don't you go, on vacation to Tahiti? Why don't you go do those things? We grabbed our Bible and we went with thousands of people to Anaheim Convention Center, and we listened to the word of the Lord on our honeymoon. And that's the way it's been with us. There was a commitment made, if you will, to walk in the ways of the Lord. When I use the word walk, I want you to understand what it means. It means live out life. That's what it means. You'll see it in Scripture, the word walk, oftentimes. And it really means live out life. So Deborah and I made a commitment some 40 some odd years ago to live out life according to what God says, not according to what we feel, not according to what we want, not according to what we think, not according to how we judge, but we decided that God would be the one who would set the course for our life. Whether it was, we didn't know this at all at the time, whether good or bad was coming, whether we were going to be successful or not successful, we didn't know enough about the Word of God to know what you're going to learn tonight. We didn't know enough to know that what we're going to talk about tonight. No one ever taught us this. We just had this on the inside of us. A simple, if you will, commitment to walk or to live out life according to the ways of the Lord. I don't mean compromised. I don't mean, that's why I love you guys on Sunday night, because many of you have been in all the church services whole weekend. You're exhausted, but you just have to. There's something on the inside of you that just wants to get more of God. Man, I can understand that. I can appreciate that. There is nothing, I love church. Here's why I love church. Not because I preach or Pastor Dan preaches so wonderful. I love church because there's a presence of God. I need the presence of God. I go out in the world, I go to the grocery store, just like you do. Go to gas stations, just like you do. Do all that kind of stuff. Can I just say something to you? I'm doing to save. I have two eyes, a nose, and a mouth, just like you, in the same spots yours at. Only yours is cuter than mine. Mine looks like the devil sat on my face last night. But that's what happens when you get older. And I'm here to tell you something wonderful takes place when you make a commitment. Decide to walk your life out, not just a little God, not just a little bit of God, not just going to church once in a while, but everything you can do to get all you can from God. Man, that doesn't take a lot. That's a simple, simple little message. Now, if you're making notes, and you should be making notes because this is a good thing for you to get a hold of because it's healthy for you, I'm going to entitle this message, Walking on the Spiritual Highway. Walking on the Spiritual Highway. In other words, living out life, not in the ways of the world, but living out life on a spiritual highway that's going to take you further, faster, easier than you ever dreamt of in your entire life. That's the big fallacy. The world says, don't do those things. It's silly. Don't do that. Nobody does that. You'll just fail. I'm here to tell you something and standing before you as an older man. I'm here telling you this. Listen, this is the way to live out life. How? Walking on the spiritual highway. In order for that to take place, there's some things you need to know that I had to come to a place about, and so did Deborah. I found out that God isn't gonna do it for me just because I ask him. I would pray like many of you, oh God, bless me, and I would not experience the blessings. Oh God, give me this, and I would not have God give me anything. I would have prayers as I would ask God for things and never got anything. Oftentimes, I found out that God doesn't work alone and I can't work alone to be successful. Because oftentimes people will want to do something. They'll want to work. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get smart. I'm going to get intelligent. I'm going to get the right job. I'll have the right pay and then I'll find out how to do things. But I'm here to tell you something. It's not about you doing it yourself any more than it is about God doing it himself. Here's what the Bible is filled with. It's you and God working together. You put in all you can, let me say it again. You put in all you can towards the things of God, and God puts in the grace to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it. That's what grace really is. God's sovereign, divine, ability. Can you imagine? Think about what I just said. Sovereign, divine ability. This is what God has for you. His sovereign means he can do whatever he wants. His divine, godly, holy, kingly ability. Can you imagine what that is? To demonstrate his power on your behalf when you can't do it. That's what grace does. It's God's ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. And God gets in. And as I work at his ways, he puts in his part. Then I put in, and I've said this a billion times, I put in the natural in my marriage. I put in the natural in my family. I put in the natural in my job. I put in the natural in my finances. I put in the natural in my economics. I put in the natural. But God, because him and I are working according to his word, he puts in the super. And then I get results how? Supernatural. Is anybody listening? And it's the simplest thing that we forget all the time. You have to make sure on a constant basis you're not going backwards, but you're going forwards with God. Let me tell you something. If you're waiting for, how many people I've heard of, God, keep me from this. He's not going to keep you from it. You're going to have to make up your mind to stop doing it. God, keep me, help me to do this, God. Yes, I'll help you to do it, but you're going to have to do it first, and then my power will get in there and do it with you. It's not him doing it by himself. It's not you working by yourself. It's you and God working together. Deuteronomy, let me take you, if I may, in the fourth chapter, verse number 9. I'm going to put up an overhead for you because I want to talk to you about some of these words. Is that okay? Deuteronomy, fourth chapter. And here we're going to look at the Old Testament just for a moment as we look at this. And we'll underline some words for you because I really want to point them out and make them very important to you. You ought to make notes about this. Notice what it says in Deuteronomy 4 chapter. Only take heed to yourself. He's talking about, man, listen, if you're going to do something, check yourself out. He didn't say, oh, don't check yourself out. Don't have to worry about a thing. I'll do it for you. That's so silly to believe that God's going to do it for you. God gave you a free will. And a proof of that is what you see in the garden with Adam and Eve. If he didn't have a free will, then would she have taken the fruit that destroyed mankind? Of course, the answer would be no. So right off the bat, the first two human beings that you see in the on the garden had a free will of choice. You have to choose. But he tells you these words. He says, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself. And oftentimes we're saying, okay, God, keep me. Okay, God, I really need you to come along and keep me from doing this. I don't want to do it anymore. And God says, listen, I'll give you the power, but you got to do the thing. You got to do the action. You got to watch yourself. Diligently keep yourself. And then he comes along and he says these words that are really kind of interesting words. He says, least you forget. And the things that your eye has seen and depart from your heart all the days of your life. You know that we have seen things and felt things and known things and been in the presence of God. Some of us have gotten to the place where we're weeping and crying. 2 days later, we forgot that we even had an encounter with God like that. We're always saying, God, you answered that prayer last month, but this is a new month. Answer this prayer. We forget all the time. So he's telling us, listen, check yourself out. Make sure you're doing. Can I just say something? When you check yourself out, you're going to find a lot of things you don't want to do, but you know you have to. But because you love God, you do what you have to do. Is anybody listening? And oftentimes, it's just the way it is. A lot of times people say, I'll do what I feel comfortable doing. Listen, you're never going to get very far with God because the devil will make sure you're uncomfortable in what you should be doing. You do what God would have you to do. That is the right thing for you to do. Whether you're comfortable, whether you think about it, whether you want it, whether it feels good to you or not, that's what we're going to do. When it came to everything in our life, it wasn't that Debbie and I just jumped in and you just keep on jumping in and jumping in. Man, sometimes you don't want to jump in. There were times when I did not want to go to church. And Debbie would say, you got to go. And I'd say, I don't want to go. She says, you're the pastor. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, there's times when you just don't want to go to church, but you make yourself go because as soon as you walk in the anointing and they start to sing about the name of Jesus, oh my, you are happy you've been in church. And has anybody experienced this besides me? When you leave, it's like, ooh, I've just been washed by the blood of the Lord all over again. It's been so good. So you got to keep yourself, he tells you about, instead of God keeping you. Most American, 10 American churches are waiting for God to do something for them. And God's saying it's about you. I love that. Teach it to your children and your grandchildren. Because you know who gets the benefit? You say children and grandchildren. No, you do as you teach it to them so you don't forget. And that's what we do all the time. We're teaching our kids and speaking to them about things and our children and grandchildren. Why? Not just because I want them to know about it. They're not going to know about it until they experience it themselves, by the way. I will keep it before me. Keep it before you. Check yourself out on a constant basis. Listen, you're going to have to do what you made a commitment to do. And sometimes it doesn't feel good or fit with your thinking. Oh, but it is absolutely wonderful. In 1 John 5th chapter, verse number 18, comes along and it says this, we know that whoever is born of God, And I love this so that we can understand this, because sometimes if you read 1 John, it'll be so condemning to you. And it's really not saying what is written. It's saying something completely different. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Can I tell you something? Pastor Jim has sinned. In fact, today I have sinned. Today I got really frustrated, said some things I shouldn't say. Of course, I apologize, repent right away. I don't let those things continue in my life. And I repent and I go, just like, so don't look at me with that real quiet look right now. You probably sinned yourself today. So he said, those who are born of God don't sin. Here's what it really says. Those that are born of God don't practice sin in their life. That's what it's really saying. Let me say it again. Here's what the verse is really saying. Those that are born of God really don't practice sin in their life. Sin comes in, might be, you might even operate in it, but you immediately recognize it for what it is and you get rid of it out of your life and you ask God to forgive you and he cleans you up. Is anybody listening? But he comes along and he says this, those who are born of God does not sin. But who has been born of God? In other words, if you're really born of the Spirit of God, you're gonna do something. And he says, God keeps him. Does your Bible say God keeps him? No. He that's born of God, God keeps him. Does your Bible say that? No. Is anybody in this room tonight? Let me try it again. Let's try this side over here. Does your Bible say he that is born of God, God keeps him?
No.
No. He that is born of God, guess what? Keeps himself. In other words, I'm responsible for what I do, what I don't do, what I decide to choose and what I'm not deciding to choose. And if I decide to choose the things of God because I love God and want to live the life that he would have me live, because it's a whole lot better than living the life that I could design for myself, then guess what? God's going to back it. Now I've got this supernatural life. And by the way, Debbie and I live in a supernatural life. Anybody here tonight?
Yes.
He says, keeps himself. And I love this last part. And the wicked one. Guess who that is? Anybody know who the wicked one is? And the wicked one does not touch him. Listen, why? Because I made sure that I'm right with God. And even if I'm wrong, I get right back to God. Is anybody listening? Powerful understanding. Again, I just want to take and show you some things that I think are fascinating. In Proverbs, the 16th chapter, verse number 17. Proverbs, the 16th chapter, verse number 17. It says, the highway, and this is so good. Didn't we talk about a highway? There's a difference between a highway and a dirt road. Stop right there, look back up at me. Debbie has a Jeep. Do you know why Debbie has a Jeep? Because we have a little motorhome and we pull her Jeep. So if you see somebody cutting you off the freeway that's in a motorhome pulling a little Jeep, don't get frustrated, because it could be your pastor or at least your retired pastor. And so last year we went up, because of so much rain, the flowers were incredible. So we went up above Santa Barbara to this road, and it was an old dirt road that led to flowers. They call them blooms. And they had these wild blooms everywhere. So we got in her Jeep and we just went up the mountains of Santa Barbara, Figueroa Mountain. And the amazing pictures that were there, I wish I had them, I would have had them downloaded and put up on the screen for you to see. They were just absolutely breathtaking. And these roads were like dirt roads, and everybody else is in their car and going real slow. And we, because, we're young and full of life and vivacious, we decided to put it in four-wheel drive, man, and go through the mud and the dirt and all that kind of stuff and keep on cruising. But you don't go very fast on that kind of an old muddy road. But a highway is completely different than an old dirt road. Some people are on an old dirt road in life. And some people need to be on a highway. And some people are on the highway. Have you ever thought about where you're at? And a lot of times we don't realize that the dirt road's not gonna get you anywhere, but the highway is smooth, fast. It's like jumping on the 10 freeway when there's nobody on the 10 freeway. How many times has that ever happened in your life? Maybe at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you can really bug along. And I'm here to tell you, this is a highway. So now he's gonna describe something about the highway. The highway of the upright. Who's upright? people who walk out their life the way of God, not the way of the world. And he comes along the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. What's evil? Let me define it for you. Anything that's contrary to the ways of God. Not anything that's contrary to our society, our social system. In fact, anything in our society or our social system that is contrary to the way of God, and there's a lot of things in our society and social systems that are contrary to the way of God. Anything that's contrary to the way of God is evil. In fact, it's the only thing you as a Christian that are allowed to hate is that which is evil. Evil is that which is contrary to the way of God. So here he comes along. He says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. And I have to depart by checking myself, making sure I'm not with somebody, not doing something that's contrary to the ways of God, making decisions or talking about something that's contrary to the ways of God. Remember, we're talking about good Christian conduct right now. That's what the Bible, a lot of times in the epistles, talking about how to live your life as a Christian. And he comes along and says, you're to depart from evil. Someone says, how do I depart from evil? You first recognize what is evil, what is it? And then you get away from it and you get to what is God. What is God? He who keeps his way preserves his soul. In other words, he who keeps his way. Notice how it says, when God keeps his way. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say when God keeps your way. It says, he, you, who keeps his way, preserves his soul. Even though it's a capital H, it doesn't mean God. Not talking about God preserving his soul. He's talking about you preserving your soul. How? Because you made the decision to keep your way. How? Because you check yourself out from time to time, make sure you're not where you should be, and you're going on the road. And God says this, that, man, it's a highway. Now let's talk about what kind of a highway it is and look at Proverbs, the 15th chapter, verse number 19. Proverbs 15, verse number 19. It's a brilliant little statement. And it says, the way of a lazy man is a hedge of thorns. This is kind of fascinating. A lazy man is somebody who comes along and says, well, I don't really give a flip. I don't care, whatever. I just want to get by in life. I'm not interested in doing much at all with my life. My life doesn't count for anything. God gives you this life. You could do great and marvelous and mighty things with it. But a lot of people say to themselves, I don't think I can, because they look at their own ability instead of God's ability within them, and they stop and they don't do anything. And they settle for a mundane, boring life. And as a Christian, you do not have to settle for a mundane, boring life. He comes along and he makes this statement, the way of a lazy man is a hedge of thorns. Can you imagine what a hedge of thorns is like? There's no way you're going through it. No way you're going through it. Last year, Debbie and I were up in Washington State with her brother. Her mom had passed away, went to a funeral. And we were with our motorhome and up there traveling a little bit. And we stopped at many places where there were open spaces. But if you tried to walk into the brush, there's no way you can go 2 feet into the brush. It was solid thorns. You know how we go up to the trees up here in our mountains, and the pine trees are there, and you walk through them, and there's pine cones and little needles, and you can see the ferns, and you have a great time just going on a walk in our local mountains. But here, up there, you'll find they're so thick that you cannot walk through them because of the hedge of thorns. In other words, what God is saying here, he says a lazy man is like the hedge of thorns. He's not going to get anywhere. He's not going to do anything. He's not going to make any progress in life. And can I say this? He's not going to have anything. And that in itself is really sad, because God has something better for him. And watch this. But the way of the right upright is a highway. Highway, man, boom, upright, when you get going with the things of God, doesn't matter what your old family was like, doesn't matter what people say, doesn't matter what they comment about, doesn't matter what man thinks, doesn't matter what your relatives say or call you. Well, I can't tell you how many names people call us. We had Christians in our family in the past that thought we were crazy, the way we were so radical for the things of God. And I want you to know, when the chips were down and the problems came in their life, do you know who they turned to us? And we told them about Jesus. And we had Christians that actually, God had not calling you to walk a compromised life, a life of mediocrity, a life of nothing, and be a lazy Christian that just goes to church once in a while because you get to go to heaven. I'm here to tell you something. God wants to bless your future far beyond what you could ever imagine or ever think. And here's the reason why. Because he loves you very much, and he wants his children to prosper and be successful in every area of their life. So you can either be on the highway or the muddy road. Some of you are on a muddy road long enough because your commitment level to God is not where it needs to be. Man, when these doors open, here's where you're going to hear the word of God. If you're not home studying it yourself, if you're not cramming it down, going into the Greek, going into the Hebrew, finding out what verses say and how to apply them in your life, you ought to at least, bottom line, be in church all the time. And man, I tell you what, you will never regret it as you get older. You will start to prosper in your life. Come on, somebody. That's what you know you want, and it's the way it is. With all that said, I just want to read you, and then I'm going to conclude tonight by talking about Psalms 1. Now it starts to really make sense. In Psalms number 1, it starts off, blessed. Don't you know that's a great word? We could go there forever. Listen, don't you want to be blessed? Don't you want every area, your children, your health, your marriages, your happiness, your house, your cars? Don't you want to be blessed? God says, man, it's time for you to get out of the mud hole, get off the muddy trails, get on the highway. Blessed is the man who walks. Remember, the word walks means lives out life. Not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, you're not going to listen to what the world has to say. You're not going to listen to what your friends have to say. Sometimes, can I just say this? You just need to get rid of some of your friends that aren't going to serve God, because they're pollute you and pollute your thinking and pollute your ideologies and pollute your life. And you just need to shake them off and find some new godly friends. And that's what you find when you come to church, especially this place. You'll find your best friends in the future serving God. And he says these words. He says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but stands in the path, nor stands in the path of the sinner. That path is the muddy road. That path is a hard, full of pit stops, full of dirt, full of mud and grass, instead of a highway. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. We get away from the things that are of evil. And he comes along and he makes us sing. But his delight, here's what a man that serves God, that's blessed. He has a delight on the inside of him. It may not come at first. You know, my delight wasn't immediately as soon as I made the commitment. I had to push through all my flesh and keep pushing through my flesh. Sometimes we think we make a commitment to Christ to go on in a deeper way. And then all of a sudden the flesh rises up. I'm not going to go to church tonight. I'm not going to go to the Word. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to watch television, man. The Rams are playing. And can I tell you something? That's just a loser thing to watch anyway. And so if you want to see a game that fails, watch the Rams. I mean, gosh, but if you want to hear about God, this is the place to be in. Are you listening? And it says his delight is in the law. See the word law? He's not talking about 10 commandments. So many times people translate that. Oh, all the things that God gave to Moses, the law for Israel. The law means this. It's all that God speaks. That's what it really is determined. It's all that God speaks, his word. When you see this, comes along and makes this statement. All that God, his delight is in his word. What God speaks to that person who's on the highway, that righteous, upright man who is absolutely hates evil, gets away from evil, his love now becomes what God says. And it takes time to get to that place. Deborah and I didn't just have that overnight. We had to work our way through it until we finally got to it. And to his law, he meditates day and night. Here he comes along and he makes a statement. He says, you think about it all the time. Deborah and I, we're thinking about the things of God all the time. We're talking about it. We have coffee together. The woman preaches to me, and I have to get saved every morning. I mean, it's just amazing. So I'm kidding. Hello, is there anybody out there tonight? I'm having fun with you, and you don't know it. And so, I mean, she's preaching to me. I'm preaching to her. We're bouncing the word back. We're thinking about when we make decisions in business, we're thinking about how we can do this in a Christian way. Or how about this? If it's God or not God. My goodness. In fact, just recently I made a decision to acquire something. And you know what she said to me? She says, you talk to God about this because I don't feel God at all. I said, yep, I talked to God. I've got an okay from God. This is a good thing. It'll happen. And it's going to be wonderful. You know what she said to me? Okay. She trusts that. Because now she knew. It was not her. It wasn't what she was saying. It wasn't what she wanted. But she knew enough that she could trust me that I had already talked to God about it and got the peace of God. Is anybody listening? Yeah. So important. So easy. So simple. Verse number 3 comes along and makes this statement. Said, he shall be like a tree. In other words, if you're going to be like a tree, how would you like to be like a tree? What kind of tree do you want to be? You want to be one in the desert that's hardly making it? You know, leaves are blown off and all the time. Not this tree, because you love God. You're checking yourself out. You're following God. You're making a deep-hearted commitment to the things of God. So all of a sudden, he says, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. Boy, I like that. And whatever he does, he shall what? Prosper. Ah, come on, somebody. I know there's only just a couple hundred of you in here tonight, but listen to this. He shall what?
Prosper.
And I love that, because here's God saying something. He wants you to prosper too. It's not just Pastor Jim or Pastor Dan or Pastor Antonio or Pastor Joe. It is all of us in here in the Word of God, lining ourselves up, realizing if you want to prosper, it's all about your commitment to walk out life according to what the Word of God has to say. Verse 4. Come on, let's do this. Only a couple more verses. And the ungodly are not so. But they are like the shaft in which the wind drives away. Verse 5 comes on and it says, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Man, they're going to be losing completely. Verse number 6 finishes this little chapter and it's wonderful. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous. Let me tell you something. Nobody else will acknowledge your ways. Nobody ever came along, pat Deborah and I on the back, said, oh, it's wonderful you decided to serve God with all of your heart. This is great. We even had, like I said, Christian friends that turned against us because our commitment was deeper than theirs. But we made that statement, and the Lord knows the ways of righteous. You do. And you say, why do I even do this? Nobody even acknowledges. Nobody ever cares. Nobody ever says anything about it. God's watching. God sees it. God marks it down. God knows the ways of a righteous. And when the day comes, when the door needs to be opened unto you for great mighty blessings, I'm here to tell you something. God will open that door. Somebody ought to say amen. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. There's only two choices you have. Choosing the things of God with all of your heart or perish, according to Scripture. And you know what? You have billions upon billions upon billions of people that have gone before you. You should not even examine yourself very far to realize this world has failed in so many areas, but those that serve God have never failed. It is great. If anybody's got anything tonight, will you promise to walk in the ways of the Lord and give the Lord a great big praise tonight? Come on. And again, God good. Well, I tell you, I love that because it reminded me so much of Deborah and I and why we are what we are and how blessed we really are. And I love it because it's the Word of God and it's real and it's alive. Could you do me one more favor? It'll help you too. Could you give the Lord a great big shout and a great big clap offering? He's worthy. Come on.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.